Aw, somebody said that they proposed to their wife at the DC Cherry Blossom Festival in
Good place to do it.
2008.
Good place to do it. Sorry, that was not, that was just a, you caught me unawares, Drew Jostad.
That's
caught
not
me.
Festive.
Well, no, it's, all right, you start and then I will chime in.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kimberly Adams and welcome to Make Me
goodness.
Smart, where we try to make today make all sense, right. Hopefully without too many Kai-size.
Well, no, that was not, it was, I wasn't ready. I was like setting up as we were talking about before we actually started recording. Fridays are a little different because we got to get this and
they
that
are.
Done and we got to get the YouTube up and I had to decorate the studio because I'm here because the power's
yes.
out at my house. I mean, all of that stuff. So, huh. Okay. But now we're here. I'm going to relax. It's Friday, Economics on Tap, YouTube live stream, the Discord, the podcast, all of that good stuff. We're going to do some news, play a little game, and then get on about our merry way, I do believe. Whew.
And for those watching on the YouTube live stream, you can tell that there's something a bit different today,
yes.
which is that we're having a cherry blossom party with many, 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 many flowers.
We have so many flowers.
And Kai is... Got his cherry blossom shirt. Show it off,
can
Kai. It's pretty awesome.
Bridget hit it out of the park with this one. I love this shirt.
This is
it's
a
awesome.
Great
I'm
shirt.
It.
And flowers in the studio. And I've got my cherry blossom jacket, pink action happening, and cherry blossoms in my hair and all over my house.
What is your beverage of choice today? Are you having a cherry beverage?
Oh, of course. Well, it's not exactly cherry, but it is pink.
All right. Okay.
Ooh. Okay. So let me look. This is called a Saint June Mai, which I found on the internet. It has sake, Saint Germain, and then I, you know, added some things to it as I always do. And so it also has some bitters and some pomegranate juice to give it a little bit of color. So
nice.
And it's actually quite delicious.
Good.
Someone says, Kimberly, stand up. They want to see my outfit.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Totally. Totally.
There you go. I'm not going to show the whole thing, but
that's
it's just
all right.
The jacket.
Well, the pajama pants on the bottom, that's fine. We get that.
It's
oh, look at that.
Absolutely
belted
leggings.
And everything. Belted. Oh, look at that. A little bit of flair. Good deal. I like that.
Yeah, it's a high-low thing. Okay.
Nice.
And let's see. All right. And you are drinking very safely.
I got water. I'm driving home, so, you know. That's
good
that's
for
the
you.
Catch. Yeah, I'll have a beer when I get home, and I'll think of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I will think of y'all. But this is good. This is a good turnout, actually, in the chat.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
What I mean, I'm not seeing a ton of cherry or blossom-themed drinks, but that's okay.
All right, well, see, so Samara Aldrubi is giving me a hard time. Why doesn't Kai have a cherry lambic beer? Because I'm driving home. Also, by the way, we decided to do this like a couple of days ago, and it's been a busy week at my
mm-hmm.
house, and I didn't have a chance to go to the store. That's all I'm saying.
Fair. Oh, you want to hear something hilarious?
Yeah,
I had to order the Saint Germain so I could make this cocktail,
mm-hmm.
and in the and I got that, and I got the sake, and I got another bottle of bourbon because I was almost out.
God.
And in the box that they delivered it in, there was a little pamphlet that said like "Find God."
Oh God! Good
this
stuff.
Is like okay.
Oh my goodness.
To the news.
Oh, my goodness. To the news. I will go first, and I'll be reasonably brief because I think yours deserves a little bit of time. So I've got three links in the rundown, as Kimberly pointed out before we got going. But really, it's only two stories, and one of which I just want to give a nod to. And I saw this go by the other day, and I said, what? That can't be. The weather report from Antarctica the other day that it was 70 degrees above normal, which is just really, really bad. And then today in the Associated Press, ice shelf collapses in previously stable East Antarctica, which is apparently thought not to have been hit really hard by climate change. An ice shelf, here's the quote, an ice shelf the size of New York City, not Manhattan, but New York City has collapsed in East Antarctica, concerned scientists said on Friday. I just want to point that out because a lot of news goes by you and it's easy to miss things and that should not be missed. And that's it. Look, I'm not the world's biggest climate journalist. I'm not even in the top zillion, but that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And it really matters. Yeah, go
ahead. This is why we call it a climate crisis.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And really every story now is a climate story. Every story.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, these two are as well. I just want to point out two articles, two pieces of news, one of which we did on Marketplace this week, but they're both the same thing. An article in Foreign Affairs by Adam Posen. He's the president of the Peterson Institute for International Economics, which basically says that this war in Ukraine is going to bring to an end the globalization trend of the last 40 or 50 years as we have known it. And then Larry Fink, who runs BlackRock, which oversees $10 trillion in assets, said basically the same thing. And those two come at the global economy from very different places, right? Adam is a guy who advocates for economics as a measure of human progress and human potential. And Larry Fink, while he would probably say he's the same thing, is also running $10 trillion in the capital markets, which has him put a different spin on it. I think they're both right, that what is happening now in Ukraine, combined with what has been happening in globalization the last number of years, the withdrawal from China, the increase toward populism in many parts of this country, look at Brexit, sorry, in many parts of the world, look at Brexit and look at what's been happening in this country. I think globalization has come to a, or will come to very soon, a sort of critical fail point, and it will not be what it was, right? And we will break into two camps. There will be camps aligned with China and Russia, and there will be a camp aligned with the Western democracies in the global economy. And we're seeing it now, and I believe that's happening.
I was struck in that conversation by the point that even if you do make those divisions between sort of democracies in the West and elsewhere and the non-democracies mm-hmm. and all of those things, even our allies might be a little wary of us. Because of the economic consequences we are, you know, just laying down on Russia.
Right.
Because now they know that we can do it to them.
That's exactly right. We're doing it because we can. Because we control the dollar. Right?
Yeah.
And that's going to make people go, ooh, do I really want to be in economic bed with the United States if they can just turn on a dime and say, don't do that? I don't know.
Well, and as Sarah Schlosser points out, our allies might be wary of us because of elections, because it was not so long ago that we had a very different leadership in the United States with a very different strategy for dealing with our allies.
100%.
Tariffs and some of those tariffs against our allies, what, just got rolled back this week?
Just this week got rolled back.
Just.
But that was an excellent segue, even if that's not what you were thinking.
No, it wasn't.
But go, because this is your item now.
Oh, right. I thought you meant to something else
you were going to say. No,
this is
you.
This is an actual segue. Very impressive, Kai. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. This piece of reporting from the Washington Post and CBS about the text messages between Mark Meadows, Trump's former chief of staff, and Jeannie Thomas, the wife of Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah.
There are many, many text messages where Virginia Thomas is basically egging on Mark Meadows, encouraging him to support Trump and trying to overturn the election. And just, you have to read the reporting. It's so astonishing how involved she was. She was at the January 6th protests. But she claims before they turned violent. Mm-hmm. And some of the stuff, you know, she's spreading conspiracy theories and encouraging, you know, them to stand strong and that the left is evil and all these things. This is pretty concerning on many, many levels. One of which being that Justice Thomas actually voted on the court on whether or not some of these files would even need to be released over whether the
literally that was the question in the case. Should these files be released? It's just amazing.
And he voted against it.
Right.
now we know why. Please read the stories or watch the CBS segment. It's very important for knowing what's going on in our democracy. And because I know this is inevitably going to be the question, yes, it is possible to impeach a Supreme Court justice. Extraordinarily difficult and highly unlikely.
Yeah. That's Twitter's going to have to calm down on that one because that's not happening.
I know. It's not happening.
But I will tell you, speaking of Twitter, Rick Wilson, who's a longtime Republican strategist, broke with the GOP in the Trump era, helped found a group called the Lincoln Project, which works against Trump. He is outspoken and coarse and crude in many, many ways. But he had a thread this morning about this story, which I think really bears out. Because the silence from many Democrats and from many, pundits who are democratically or liberally aligned, has been overwhelming. Because as Rick Wilson pointed out on Twitter this morning, if this had been the other way, if a democratically appointed Supreme Court justice and that person's spouse were in this same situation, and the spouse had done what Ms. Thomas did, and the justice had done what Justice Thomas did, the Republicans would be salting the earth with this. The Republicans would be blowing everything up and make everything for decades about this and this only. And I think it's interesting that that's not happening with this when there's actual documented proof. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Okay.
Yes.
This is a good time to play a
Let's
game.
Let's do that. I will look over and look at you, Josh. Okay. Same theme music, same host, Drew Jostad. Today, a different game. It's called This or That. Here are the rules. Kimberly's going to go first because otherwise, the last time we played this, we step all over each other. So Kimberly goes first, and y'all will see how this plays out. Drew, go ahead.
Do you prefer cherry blossom season or the first snow of the year?
Cherry blossom season.
First snow.
You don't get snow in LA.
Well, that's why I like it. We don't get cherry blossoms either.
Fair.
Go.
Would you rather?
Wait.
Wait, what?
There's Bridget was telling me that there is like a flowering season for
The jacaranda trees. There are these amazing. This blew me away when I came to LA. There are these trees in LA called jacaranda trees, which I'm sure they exist somewhere else, but I had never seen them. Their flowers are purple, and they are planted in long strips on one of the roads on my way home. And the first time it happened, it's like a purple explosion. It's the craziest thing. All right, you know what? I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to go with cherry blossom time because I can relate now. That's a really good pointer. Okay, good. Totally fair.
Sorry. All right. Would you prefer a hot sandwich or a cold sandwich?
Cold sandwich, because hot sandwiches usually have cheese on them, and I don't like cheese.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to say cold, but I think you have to, next time we play this game, and if you ask this question again, which of course you never will, you have to define what kind of sandwich. I think that matters. All right.
All right. I didn't get enough instruction, I guess, on that one. imagine yourself an actor in a movie. Would you rather play the hero or the villain?
Villain.
A hero. Come on. Have you met me?
Villains are always more fun.
Do you prefer doing the dishes or the laundry?
They're both the bane of my existence. Laundry, because I've gotten to I don't have a washing machine in my house. There's like a laundry room in my building. And so I've gotten to the place where I can kind of do laundry like once a month. It's a big pile, but I only have to deal with it once a month. Like,
you just have a lot of clothes. Okay, so I'm going to take both.
Sure.
Because I am very task-oriented, and I like to have something that is definable, and washing the dishes, boom, you wash them, you're done. Boom, you do the laundry, you fold it, you're done. So I'm going to say both, because I can.
Okay.
It's my show.
You can.
There you go.
Do you prefer spring or fall?
Oh, fall.
Man. Yeah, I think fall.
As much as I love cherry blossoms, I do love fall.
Yeah. That's, you know.
Sweater weather. Sweater weather.
That's exactly it. You live in LA, you miss those things, but man, could I go for some sweater weather? Yeah, for sure.
You have to say it's sweater weather.
Sweater weather. Are we from Boston?
No, it's the SNL skit, sweater weather.
Oh, so I'm not hip enough.
This next one seems pretty obvious to me, but a 4-day work week or a 5-day work week? I guess not.
Kimberly goes first. I'm just waiting.
I know, I'm thinking, because I've been reading quite a bit about this, and I understand the positives and negatives of each, but, like, I'm going to go with 4-day work week.
Yeah, I think 4 as well.
Yeah.
that one took too long.
Would you prefer...
Well, it's because...
No, go ahead. You may explain your answer. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's because if you're working a 4-day work week, you're probably going to be working a longer day, and... such a societal upheaval would need to happen to accommodate it. And so if you end up working a 4-day work week, but the rest of the structures of society are not ready to, like, deal with you working a 4-day work week, how much of that extra day is really off?
Yeah. So look, I'm flipping through the comments actually. So they're talking about, you know, not going to lie, the 12-hour shifts for nurses with 4-day work weeks kill people. Talking about 4x12 work weeks. Really interesting. I think I would work a 4x10 work week, right? I'm going to do my 40 hours, mm-hmm. which really, I mean, I get it. It turns into like 48 or 50, but yeah. You know, when I work 5-day weeks, I work 10 hours. So I don't know.
Fair.
All right. Anyway.
Okay.
Would you prefer a spontaneous trip or a planned vacation?
Planned vacation.
I could really go for a spontaneous trip actually. Yeah.
I want it to be planned so that when I'm on vacation, I don't have to make decisions.
No, that's
so
fair.
That I can, like, fair. Completely check out.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you rather be fluent in any language or be able to play any instrument?
Fluent in any language.
Language for sure. For sure.
I'm terrible with languages, and I wish I was not.
Play the piano. No, I'm going to stay on languages.
I feel like learning to play the piano kind of is like learning another language. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to learn how to play, so it engages a different part of your brain mm-hmm. and everything. But in terms of wanting a shortcut to something, I kind of would like to go through the process of learning how to play the piano. I just want to speak the languages.
That's right. Fair enough. Yes.
Do you prefer cooking at home or eating out at a restaurant?
I like both for different reasons. I'm going to go with both this time.
All right, Bridget, these are not stark enough choices. I think we need like a, would you like to die or live? That's what we need. We need those kinds of choices.
You know what I mean, right?
Because there are appealing aspects to both, but I guess that makes it the tougher question, I suppose. That's what Bridget's producer mind is thinking.
The early ones were easy. It's ramping up in difficulty.
Yeah, that's true. I would say eating and cooking at home. Yes.
All right, honor of Steve Wilhite, is it pronounced GIF or JIF?
I think it's GIF, but
oh God,
I also
you're
don't
dead to
care
me.
That much.
You're dead to me. It's JIF. The guy who invented it, who just died, Steve Wilhite, said it's pronounced JIF.
Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time my name is Kimberly, and they insist on calling me Kim. So what does one do?
Fights the good fight is what one does. One fights the good fight. There you go. Good grief. That was a good one to end on.
Oh, goodness. That was fun. I liked that game.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Nice to mix it
well
up.
Well done.
Okay. I should probably go to reading things. That's it.
That
is it for us today. I hope everybody enjoyed our fun cherry blossom theme. And thank you very much for everybody for joining us in the Discord and the chat and all those other things. And if you want to share how you'd like to celebrate spring or any other thoughts that you might have for our Make Me Smart edification, you can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message. We are at 508-827-6278 or 508-UBSMART.
There we go.
Why are you sighing so hard now?
No, that was a satisfied sigh. Come on, you can't even tell them apart? We should just play them back to back. We should play them back to back. That was a show well done. That's what that was. All right, Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Mark A. Green. Our intern is Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad, the senior producer of this podcast, and the amazing purchaser of this shirt for me, which I'm keeping, Bridget. Thank you. Is Bridget Bonner. You can expense that away. Tell APM to go pound sand when they come tracking you down for it.
Bye, do not endorse that statement. The team behind our game, This or That, is Stephen Beyond, Mel Rosenberg, and Emily McCune. The theme music for the game was written by Drew Jostad, and the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
I guess we'll find out if anybody at corporate headquarters actually listens to this thing. Won't we now?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.